It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Twenty minutes away from 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you up until 6. And then it's time for a high school boys basketball, the OHAA, with some pregame coverage at 6 o'clock. At 6:30, we hand the baton off to Tim Alcorn and Coach Troy DeFranco. They'll have the call for you in that Division I regional semifinal down in Akron with Lorain taking on St. Ed's. But we turn our attention now to the college level, where most of you, I'm sure, are going to be extraordinarily productive at work tomorrow. Probably not paying attention to the internet or watching TV and using that fake spreadsheet. Remember, that was the craze for a while now to try and get your boss to believe that maybe you weren't watching the NCAA tournament. Or maybe most of you have said, the heck with it. I'm not even going to try and mask it. I'll just tell my boss I came down with some sort of mysterious headache or cold or God only knows what else and say you're not going to be in on Thursday or you're not going to be in on Friday. Our next guest never used any of those excuses. He showed up for the NCAA tournament every single day, no matter how badly he wanted to watch those tournament games. Dan Helm joins us on the show right now. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We are lovely, although it sounds like most of America will be doing at least a little bit better tomorrow, unless a 15 takes care of a 2, and if that 2 is a team that you have going all the way to the Final Four, that could throw a wrench into your plans pretty quickly. But, you know, upsets are kind of what this tournament, or I should say what's made this tournament pretty interesting, no?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And not to pour a little salt in the wound, but, you know, 2 years ago, your Michigan State Spartans were the team to win it all. And it just shows you, they were the team. It was Denzel Valentine's senior year. There wasn't anybody that's going to beat them. They were a 2 seed because of some losses earlier in the year. And what happens? One of the first games of the tournament, it was the first or second game of the whole tournament, they lost to Middle Tennessee State. And right there, 2 hours in, everyone says their bracket is done. But that's why we love it. If the number one teams won, or the top seeded teams won every game, we wouldn't be nearly as interested.
Yeah, well, and you know, Michigan State had a great year this year, and they were rewarded with a 3 seed and arguably the toughest bracket in the entire tournament too, which is going to be a very, very entertaining one. Kansas, Michigan State, Duke. So there should be some potential Sweet 16 matchups, which will be really fascinating. But, you know, while we're on the topic of the upsets, the 12 over the 5 seems to be the most common in the opening round. As you take a look at those 4-12 and 5 matchups taking place over the next 48 hours or so, what would you say is the most likely 12 over 5 upset in the opening round?
Well, I got to, you know, it's easy to kind of look at them all and go, I really think West Virginia is going to not have much trouble with Murray State, and I think the same kind of goes for Clemson and New Mexico State. But I look on the left side of the bracket, and I'm looking at, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but Ohio State, not necessarily in trouble, but they're going up against maybe the most underrated player in the entire tournament. If you get a chance to watch the Buckeyes play, they're going against Mike Dom, who plays for South Dakota State. He's an NBA guy, kind of built like Kevin Love, maybe a little stronger. He has a chance, but one player can change the game. And he has the chance to really do some damage with the Buckeyes. And here's something, and we can maybe talk about this later. The Big Ten tried something new this year, had their tournament last week instead of the week leading up to the big dance. It'll be really interesting to see how that rest affects some of the teams. Some it may help, some it may not. So that'll be interesting to see how the Big Ten teams play. The other one I really like, Davidson. Those are guys that can shoot the ball. If they get hot early, Kentucky is all young guys, no experience. Davidson is a senior-laden team. They got a guy, Peyton Allridge, who was the co-player of the year in the Atlantic 10, scores about 23 a game and could go, you know, they've got a couple guys that could, all of a sudden they've hit 16 threes and Kentucky doesn't know what's hit them.
It's interesting you mentioned that, you know, one guy can certainly change the dynamic of a game. That's part of what makes basketball so interesting. Even if you don't have a great team, if you have one great player, that can certainly change things, and that obviously changes the dynamic in a tournament that's as interesting as this. And that makes another team in this tournament very interesting to me. Albeit these guys haven't had a great season, they come into the tournament as a 10 seed. Oklahoma's got Trae Young, arguably the best player in the entire country. That's got to be a very scary 10 seed.
It certainly does. And, you know, you bring a great point. They had a terrible ending to the season. But the way teams play in their conference, you know, you're playing the same teams over and over again. Teams really get to know you. Trae Young was really worn down and tired. They hadn't played in a little over a week now by the time they play. And it's funny, I was on with you guys a couple weeks ago, and I talked, you know, highly about Rhode Island could really be a team to do some damage. But then all of a sudden, I look at this. Rhode Island's not playing that great right now. Just lost to Davidson in the A-10 final. Now they play Trae Young, who is healthy. He's rested. One of their other freshmen is a real good player, too. They're kind of going to be refreshed. It's a new start for them. Everyone doesn't think they should be in the tournament. There's a chance to prove people wrong. And all of a sudden now Rhode Island's got a terrible matchup with Oklahoma in the first round, and if they get past them, they got to play Duke. But you mentioned Kansas, Duke, and Michigan State in that bracket. But all of a sudden, Trae Young gets hot. He had four games, Bull, I believe, where he scored over 40 points. Not only did he lead the country in points per game, but assists. That's never been done, especially by a freshman. So he gets hot. All of a sudden, that bracket is, you know, I mean, it's off the charts. I mean, he could go right through Duke and all of a sudden be looking in the Sweet 16.
He's the most fascinating player, I think, in this tournament for all the reasons you just mentioned. I mean, the times I've seen him play this year, and I don't know. I mean, and one of the reasons we love having you on is because you closely pay attention to a lot of this stuff, and I haven't really had the chance to pay attention, as much attention to it, rather, as I'd like. And the times I've seen him play, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I really haven't seen another player at the Division I level this year completely take over the way that Trae Young has been able to. And that's why I think as a 10 seed, that makes them so interesting and just such an intriguing team to watch. But let's take that game out of the equation. What other potential upsets do you see? I had to bring the 12-5 because it happens every year, and I feel like that's always the go-to when you're looking at these potential first-round upsets. Outside that typical 12-5 stuff, do you see any other potential ones out there?
Yeah, and, you know, I try to steer clear. You know, those 8-9 games, those 7-10 games, the way college basketball is built now, those teams are almost identical. You're really, the only difference between those teams is what color jersey they're wearing, whether they're the home team or not. So those are really hard for me to call. One I like that it's going out a little bit on a limb, but the way Marshall plays basketball, they could beat Wichita State. I don't know how familiar everybody is with Marshall basketball, but their coach is Mike D'Antoni of the Houston Rockets' brother, Dan D'Antoni. And they play similar style. They get up and run. Their goal is to shoot a three or shoot a shot sometime within the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. They play their games in the 90s, high 80s, 90s, and even over 100 sometimes. That team gets hot. They've got some guys that were in their conference championship a couple of years in a row. They finally kind of got over the hump. They're the team that knocked Middle Tennessee out of the tournament. They beat them a couple times this year. So they are a team as a 13 that if I'm Wichita State, I do not want to see, because they can be down 10 or up 10. They're playing the same way. They're fearless. That could be a game where all of a sudden you're like, whoa, Marshall's up 15 at halftime on Wichita State. That 13-4 really jumps out at me. Also, I'm a little biased with the Atlantic 10, but St. Bonaventure proved that the guards last night are pretty incredible. They even didn't have a great shooting night. They beat UCLA. For anybody that stayed up for that game, I think I could see them taking out Florida in an 11-6 game. That's a late game. Other than that, you know, there's a couple trendy ones. Everyone thinks that, hey, this is the best 16 seed ever to play, that Penn is really going to give Kansas a hard time. They do the backdoor cuts. They're real deliberate with the ball. But, you know, if Kansas is up 8 to 10 points in that game, the way Penn plays, that's like being up 20 to 25 points in a regular game, if that makes sense.
Are the days numbered, Dan, for the one seed? Eventually that's got to happen, right? The 16's eventually going to be the one, no?
Yeah, I think so. Eventually, when I was a kid, I grew up in North Carolina, we had a small school, Western Carolina, and they took Purdue and Glenn Big Dog Robinson to the wire. I think they lost by 1 point. That was in the early to mid-90s. Princeton's almost done it a few times. As basketball evolves, you know, I think we're going to have some of these one-and-dones are going to change, which I think you get some of the one-and-done guys out of there, you're taking 10 or 15 of the best players out of the tournament, then all of a sudden that brings the one seeds back a little bit. The facilities that these teams have now, the 16 seeds have, and the three-pointer is the great equalizer. Even in the pros, you watch the Cavs will play somebody like the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets shoot a ton of threes. If they get hot, they're going to win that game. So you get a team that goes ice cold, and all of a sudden, one team just goes unconscious. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Mm-hmm.
Talking NCAA college hoops with Dan Helm here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, and I think we already kind of answered this question, but I'll throw this out there just in case I got the wrong impression on your answer to this a little bit earlier. But we talked about the toughest region, I think, you know, with Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, that Midwest bracket's got all kinds of star power. Is there any debate there? Would you say that's still the toughest region, or is there anybody else out there I'm missing?
I don't even think it's close, guys. I think that this is one of the best ones. This is one of the best regions I've seen and that I can remember. I mean, you look at Kansas had a great season. They won their conference for the 14th, 15th straight year. Duke, to me, is the most talented team in the entire tournament. And then Michigan State, and they've kind of flown under the radar because the Big Ten beat each other up. And then they've kind of just been on the back burner for about 10 days. For me, for the thought that Michigan State even got a three seed to me was pretty surprising. And Auburn's no slouch. They're the four seed in that region. They're the SEC champion, and the SEC sent seven or eight teams, the most they've ever sent in their history. So, you know, you're looking at the top four seeds. If those four teams advance, talk about a great Sweet 16. And then you've got Trae Young as a 10 seed, as the country's best score, playing against Rhode Island, who's probably the most senior-laden team in the entire tournament. I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, you've got Arizona State playing Syracuse tonight to be the 11th seed in that region. Arizona State has beaten Kansas. They beat Oklahoma, and they beat, I believe, either Purdue or Michigan State. I apologize if I got that wrong, but they beat another top-five team early in the season. So Bobby Hurley's guys, that's the 11th seed in that bracket. I mean, whoever survives that might want to give them the trophy.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that bracket plays out, but we'll take a look at some of the others here, and I want to focus on one team in particular for just a moment. How much do you think the injury to Virginia's sixth man, DeAndre Hunter, is going to hold the Cavaliers back? Is that the kind of thing that could keep them from going to the Final Four? Because immediately you think sixth man, how much is that actually going to hurt them? But by most accounts, a lot of people you talk to, this is a guy in DeAndre Hunter who's a hotshot NBA prospect.
He is, and he's a redshirt freshman. He's right there on the cusp of starting. He would probably start for 65 of the 68 teams here. And I know people hear sixth man and they think, oh, well, he's not one of the best players on his team. He was the ACC sixth man of the year. It's not like he's just Virginia's sixth man. He was the best sixth man in the entire conference of probably what I would consider the best conference in basketball. And what Virginia does well, they're not pretty and they're not fancy, and this is an absurd statistic. Virginia didn't give up more than 68 points in a game this season. It's unheard of in this day and age. They're a defensive team. They don't score a ton. But what he offers is anybody that gets in foul trouble, he allows the versatility on their defense to rotate so they can match up against a guard-oriented team or a team that pounds it in the paint like Duke that have just two incredible NBA big men. And what that does is they lose a ton of their versatility with that. And I think it's going to be a very, very big-time storyline. I think this is something that's really going to keep them from the Final Four. And it's really a shame because of the season that they've had.
Dan, you may have been alluded to it a little earlier when we talked about that Midwest bracket, but do you have a favorite in this? Do you have someone you think may pull away from the rest of the group and claim the championship this year?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards what I've got right now is Arizona and Duke.
Okay.
To me, Duke this year has been the most talented team. If they put it together, now you got to do it for six straight games. But I really think that they're the best team in the country. They've got great guards. They've got great posts. I mean, just NBA guys. They obviously have a coach who knows how to do it in this time of year. That being said, Arizona kind of seems to have put the distractions behind them. They have a 4 seed, I think, based on those distractions. They lost a bunch of games early in the year. It's kind of affected their seed. I really like those two talented teams. Obviously, I'm probably going to be completely wrong because no one ever seems to get this right. But those are the two that really stick out to me.
Taking a look at the West and taking a look at the South, or I'm sorry, at the East, we haven't spent a whole lot of time on those two seeds. You know, Villanova is the top seed in the East. You know, by a lot of accounts, you know, people seem to think they've got perhaps the easiest path to the Final Four, although they do have Purdue, which I think is a very quiet number two seed in that bracket. And then you look at the West. You know, you've got Xavier as the top seed, UNC is the two. And if you take a look at the rest of that bracket, boy, I don't know, as unpopular as this opinion might be around here, John Beilein's Michigan Wolverines are an awfully difficult three seed in that West region also. Does it pain you to look at that West and see that Xavier is a number one seed?
Oh, I mean, yeah, very much so, as a Dayton Flyer does. But they've earned it. And that conference, that Big East conference, has two number one seeds. You know, I do like Villanova's path. What I'd like to say, you talk about Purdue as the two in that region in the East, and then you've got Michigan as the three in the West. Michigan seems to be everybody's darling for winning the Big Ten tournament. Purdue has lost. They've kind of bowed out the last 2 years early in the bracket, but they've got some great players. They've had a good season. I am really, really interested to see how the layoff affects the Big Ten teams. If it does, or if all of a sudden the Big Ten has such a successful year, is everybody else going to go to the same format? Hey, let's go into the tournament as rested as possible, not having just beaten each other up for a week. So, but, you know, Xavier, I think, can go far. You know, Gonzaga, it's just one of those things. Gonzaga's tournament tested. They went to the final last year. And then you've got the two in that is UNC. You know, they're not quite as talented as they have been in the past, but they are the defending champions, and they have a lot of those guys are back. They're not that young. And same with Villanova. Villanova won the title 2 years ago. A lot of those guys are still there. They were in the Elite Eight last year. So that North Carolina, and I like Villanova in the East, North Carolina in the West, because of their experience. I just don't know if Xavier has enough to get over the edge to get him to the Final Four.
Very good stuff, as always, my friend. We always enjoy having you on and talking NCAA hoops. And when the dust clears a week from today and we have an idea as to who the final 16 teams are remaining in the tournament, we will most definitely have you on again. How does that sound?
Oh, it'll be exciting, and we'll have a ton of storylines. And one thing that I just want to throw out to everybody, notice that all the distractions have just disappeared, and we'll hear about them all, the illegal stuff, after the season. The NCAA is pretty good at that kind of stuff.
Yes, they swept that under pretty well, and good for them for sweeping it under for now, but you're right, it'll resurface. It's only a matter of time. Dan, always a pleasure, my friend.
You guys are great. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, you too. Again, Dan Helm joining us here talking some NCAA college hoops.